is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The Northern Triangle, Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. Early in the Biden administration, we were told that the trouble at the border was the Northern Triangle and root causes. We come now to the smallest member of the Northern Triangle, El Salvador, and a man who is elected again to be the president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele. I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, who writes the America's column for the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. She's also the director of editorial control and observation in Latin America, and she's written of Bukele before. In fact, I first met Nayib Bukele in Mary's column about Bitcoin and the volcano that was going to drive the mining of Bitcoin. I thought it was all a little loopy at the time, but now, Mary, a very good evening to you. Your column gets right to the heart of the matter of Nayib Bukele's overwhelming victory. He changed the Constitution by intimidating the court. What is the accurate way of saying how he obliged the Constitution to be changed for his gain? Good evening to you, Mary.
Well, good evening, John. Actually, he didn't change the Constitution. The Constitution says that a president cannot serve consecutive terms. So he could be president, but then he would have to take a break for the next term, and then he could be reelected. So no consecutive terms. That remains in the Constitution, but the Constitutional Court, which is a chamber within the Supreme Court, allowed him to go ahead and run for a second consecutive term. And the way in which he got the court to do that was that he first got the Congress, which he was controlling, to get rid of the existing constitutional court. Four of the five members were just decapitated, not physically, but they lost their jobs. They had 9 years left on their, they have 9 year terms, and they had more than half of their 9 year terms left. But the they were fired by a Congress that he controlled. And then he just named people that would be malleable to him. And he also named a prosecutor, an attorney general in the same way, who still had time left on his term. He fired him. Well, the Congress fired him and replaced him with someone who was malleable to the Bukele agenda. So no more independent institutions in El Salvador.
Does this mean he can run indefinitely?
Well, he says that hasn't been decided yet, but he also led a gerrymandering of the unicameral legislature in this last election, and that allows him to get two-thirds control of the court. So the expectation is that he will try to rewrite the Constitution. And in that rewritten Constitution, there will be indefinite reelection. I don't know that for sure, but that's one expectation.
That is the mark of the word is dictator. I believe that he used it about himself once upon a time. Once you get control of the authority of the president or prime minister, one man, one vote, one time. So we go to another part of the court abuse, which is the photographs I've seen over these last years of thousands of young men in their underwear lined up, their heads over on the floor being watched by heavily armed guards. And you use the number 75,000, and it was supposed to be fighting drug gangs, but it looks like mass detention and dehumanization of young people. How is it regarded by the El Salvador population that just overwhelmingly reelected him? Do they reward him for this?
Well, let's keep in mind that turnout in that election was 48% of the electorate. So he says that he got 82% of the vote. Of course, the electoral body, which is supposed to oversee a fair election, is also controlled by Mr. Bukele. So it's not clear how popular he is, but let's supposing he is popular. There's a difference between democracy and majoritarianism. And lots of countries have gone through periods where, the strong man was very popular and so could be elected. But that doesn't make it a democracy. That just means that a majority of people were in favor of what he was doing at the time. Now, with respect to these tattooed men who are photographed, let's remember that those photographs are taken with the approval of the government. There's a lot of theater going on here. I've heard from readers who say, oh, look at those guys. They look like gang members. And they do look like gang members. They're covered in tattoos. They have, you know, gang member haircuts and so forth. But we don't really know, what the 75,000 is made up of. I mean, it's a lot of young males in lower income neighborhoods. But the evidence suggests that they do not receive due process when they're accused. So if he's just sweeping young men off the streets, he might be reducing crime, but, you know, who's getting caught up in that? And I think another troubling aspect is that he got the Congress to pass a law that says up to 900 individuals can be convicted in one single trial. This is not the stuff of democracy. This is an abuse of power. And, you know, people, I think, generally are pleased with him because before he came to power, you couldn't walk in the streets. The gangs were controlling neighborhoods. I talked to Salvadorans, secretaries and clerks and offices who couldn't leave their neighborhoods without paying a toll to leave and paying a toll to come back. When their young sons came of age, they were recruited into the gangs. I mean, the gangs were really, really controlling Salvadoran civil society. And to that extent, I think, you know, the opposition very much let Salvadorans down. So they provided an opening for this guy. But I think that we should all pause a little bit and ask, you know, at what price has this crime gone down?
And about the courts in general being changed by the Congress. I remember you writing early on about Bukele. This was his first term showing up in Congress with the army to intimidate the Congress. Is that why they obey him, because they're frightened of the military?
No, I think what happened then was that the Congress was resisting some of his strong-arm tactics. And so they were not voting for what he wanted. And so he took the long guns to the Congress. He sat in the seat of the president of Congress. And it was an act of intimidation. Since then, a new Congress has been elected, and he's basically had control of the Congress either through his own party or with the help of smaller parties that are allies of his. And in this new election, which we just had, he won 2/3. So what you're referring to was during a time when he had some resistance in Congress. He doesn't really have that anymore.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady writing about Nayib Bukele, a man who once called himself a cool dictator. My experience is you only have to show the gun once and everybody gets the point. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.